Good morning.
It's a really special day here, the last Sunday of the year, and we have so many people with us visiting. So thankful for the presence of each and every one. Seems like a lot of our young people back home, and it's really wonderful always this time of year to see them. Nice to have Travis leading songs for us today. He did an outstanding job, I thought, and that was really inspirational to see him up here. And others of our young people who are home for the holidays and be going back to their new places, new homes soon. And so I wanted to say especially that today's Tuggies last Sunday with us, and not to omit others who are here and won't be back for a while, but she got a job in Nashville, Tennessee. Kind of sad about that. We're going to miss her, but excited for her, and congratulations to her. And she's going to be moving to Nashville and working at Vanderbilt. And so we say goodbye to Tuggie, and we'll miss her. Hope you come back soon and come back often. And we say that to all of our young people. We have a class for children up to about age 5. If any moms and dads would like to take advantage of that, you can meet Sarah Johnson. She'll be glad to help you in the lobby at this time. But really good to see everybody here today. We appreciate the presence of each and every one. This Wednesday night, we are going to have a New Year's Eve devotion. You know, what more appropriate thing to do than to gather and maybe remember some of the things that have happened the last year and to pray for God's blessings on us, our families, on our congregation as we gather at 7 o'clock this coming Wednesday night. We'll not have regular Bible classes, but we do invite everybody to come back and be with us at that time as we come to the conclusion of this year and begin a new year. I want to talk a little bit this morning about some of our things that we're doing in the new year, and I want to begin by mentioning the banners that you see as you walked in this morning or as you came and found your seat in the auditorium today. The theme, our focus, we're going to talk about this a lot through the year, is the scripture in James 1:22. It says, we're to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Now this banner, you might have guessed, is William's handiwork. I was working on one, and then he showed up in town unexpectedly, and so I put him to work. Now, what about this banner gives it away that this is William's work? Okay, the earbuds, right. This is what I was working on before he got here. Okay, it's not quite the same, but, you know, that's how people hear the Word of God. You open the Bible, you read it, you go to Bible class, you sit in sermons, or you listen to it on your phone, perhaps. But the point is, no matter how you are hearing God's word, we need to be doers of the word, not hearers only. It doesn't do us a lot of good to be just hearing God's word. Even to memorize God's word doesn't really help. We've got to apply it to our life. And so that's really the focus of our theme and our studies. And I want to talk about that for a few minutes this morning. What I really want to do is look at two very, very simple parables in the New Testament, where Jesus, and in this case, James, really makes this point. The quote actually on our banner is from James 1:22. But this is what James said about it. He said, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who observes his natural face in a mirror. This is the first parable. And he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. And so he talks about, we say parables are, you know, earthly stories that have a spiritual or a heavenly meaning, everyday stories. This is something everyone does every day. This is something probably every one of us did this morning. We get up and we go and we look at ourselves in the mirror. You know, and we make whatever adjustments are necessary. We wash our face, we comb our hair, we brush our teeth, and we make sure that we're presentable. Now, maybe you got here this morning and you saw someone and you said, you know, did he or she even bother to look in the mirror this morning? Now, hopefully you didn't say that, because that would be unkind. But, you know, we might think that sometime, and that's really what this is talking about. It's talking about someone who did bother to look. You know, maybe someone didn't bother to look, and they show up, and so we might wonder. But this person doesn't even bother to look. They do look. It says they look at themselves. They observe their natural face in the mirror, and they go away and immediately forget. Maybe they're distracted, and so they don't make any changes. And it says they immediately forget what kind of person they were. The application is, of course, the Bible is a mirror. By coming together this morning and listening to William's lesson and listening to this lesson, we are all looking at ourselves in the mirror of God's Word. We are hearing God's Word. But he says we need to be doers, not hearers only. We need to think about what God's Word. If anything said today challenges you and you realize you need to change, you know, this passage applies to you. Don't be just a hearer of the Word of God. Be a doer of it. Verse 25 says, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, not a forgetful hearer, but a doer. This is the person, he says, who will be blessed. And so we need to apply what God's Word says to our life. Parable number 2 comes from Matthew chapter 7. And this is Jesus speaking. And you'll notice what a strong similarity. He says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, he's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, he's the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house. And it fell, and great was its fall. Again, Jesus talking here, very conclusion of his Sermon on the Mount. And he says, he who hears these sayings and does them is wise, and he who hears and does not do them is like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. The very first time we met at this property, here's a picture of that Sunday evening. And you can tell there the building wasn't quite yet completed, but we couldn't wait. We had to come down here. And so many of us gathered. There you see Brother and Sister McKay sitting on the front row and others. And we worship God on the slab. And it was a lot of fun to do that. We enjoyed that evening. And one of the things I talked about during that devotion was how the foundation, you know, which is basically all there was, the foundation, actually is the most expensive. If you were to itemize all the things that went into this construction, the foundation, the concrete, and I guess any steel, you know, that gives it strength, also laid with the concrete, the price-wise, that was the most expensive part of the entire... Does that surprise anyone? Most expensive part of the construction was the foundation. But anyone who knows anything about construction would tell you that it's also really the most important part. You have to have a strong foundation. You might save money or save time by, you know, skimping on the foundation, but that would not be wise. And that's exactly what Jesus' parable is about. He who hears these sayings and does them is the wise man who built his house on the rock. There's a scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. It's talking about the church. The church is likened to a building. It says, we are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He's the main key to the foundation. But it says we're also built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And so that's the teachings of the apostles and prophets. And our church needs to be built on that foundation. We need to hear the sayings of Jesus and his apostles, and we need to do them. And that's the wise church. Or we need to apply it to ourselves individually. That's what Jesus is talking about. And the foolish person hears but does not do. And so these are two very simple parables that James gives. Someone might look at, you know, the things that Jesus said there and, you know, it's so simple. He who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them. In fact, don't we teach that to our little kids in their classes? The wise man built his house on the rock. The foolish man built his house on the sand. And the rains came tumbling down. We all learned that song when we were just little bitty kids going to Sunday school. And some people are kind of insulted, you know, that Jesus spoke in such simple terms, but you know, there's something just tremendously profound. You cannot miss the point of what he's trying to say. It's very interesting. In verse 28, it says, as soon as Jesus ended this, the people were astonished. You know, they didn't turn away and say, he's such a simpleton, I don't want to have anything to do with that. They were astonished because he taught them as one having authority. There's something profound with great authority about simplicity, and you can't miss the point of what Jesus was saying. We need to not only hear God's word, we need to apply it to our life. What I want to do for the final minutes we have is notice a couple things about the context of both James 1 and Matthew chapter 7. And I want to make the observation that, first of all, we've got to be hearers of the word. And this is something very important that I think we should be concerned about. Are we really studying God's word? Are we studying the Bible daily? Does it really have a big, important part in our individual lives? And that's something, you know, everybody has to answer for themselves. But he says, be doers of the word, not hearers only. He doesn't say, be doers and don't worry about studying. He says, you need to hear, but you also need to be a doer of the word. We need to be hearers. Psalms 119, 105, God's word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. We shouldn't choose to stumble through this world of darkness without the wisdom and the guidance of our Creator. It helps us in temptation. We need to hide it in our heart so that we know what God's will is and recall those scriptures, and it'll prompt us. God will prompt us by His Spirit because we've memorized His word. Encourage us and remind us to do the right thing. Speaking to new Christians, it says, lay aside all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking. And he says, we should be like newborn babes and desire the pure milk of the word that we may grow. That's how we grow as Christians. And that's why we should want to be a hearer of the word, so that we can grow, so that we can learn God's will for our life. In this particular scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, he's talking about how God has given gifts to certain people in the church. And in particular, he talks about apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers. The one thing all of these have in common is they're all related to teaching God's word. There are many other types of gifts. But his concern in this passage is those in the congregation who can teach God's word. And he says, God gave them these gifts to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to edify the body of Christ, so that we can all come to a unity of the faith and a knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And look at this, it says, so that we should not be children, be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. He goes on to say, rather we should speak the truth in love. You know, Jesus said we need to beware of false prophets. They come in sheep's clothing, Matthew chapter 7. And that's why Paul says we need to study God's word. And one place we experience that is in the local congregation. That's just one place. But we need to take advantage of the opportunities, you know, that the church provides so that we're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that comes along. There's so many ideas. If we're not studying God's word, you know, we won't be grounded in the scriptures, and we could be easily misled. So far, these scriptures are kind of like warnings, but, you know, like we said last week, Ephesians 3:8, the Apostle Paul described the gospel as the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's why we should want to study the Bible. You can't fathom what a wonderful story it is, how great it is, the wonderful things that God has done, the promises He gives that are revealed in His word. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes through hearing the word of God. We study, we learn about God. We learn about the amazing thing He's done, the good things He's done. We learn about His power, and we trust in Him because we know what a great God He is, and it comes for spending time in the word of God. Look at what Paul wrote concerning Timothy. He said, continue in what you've learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned it. Paul said to Timothy, from childhood you've known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That's why we need to study the Bible. Maybe the greatest reason of all, it's able to make us wise for salvation. Parents, you need to learn from this example how Timothy's mother and grandmother taught him from childhood the Word of God. And then he goes on to say, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. In other words, how are we going to go and do unless we know what we are to do? We need to hear the Word of God. It tells us what to do. It instructs us how to live our life. Instruction in righteousness, how to be right with God. Answers to those questions are found in the Word of God. I wanted to plug our new study that begins this Thursday, January 1st. We got a new class. It's called Christianity in the Beginning. We're doing something that we can do online as well as on Wednesdays. As a congregation, we will review these lessons. In the beginning refers not to Genesis 1 in the beginning, but the beginning of the gospel. The gospel of John begins, in the beginning was the Word, right? The gospel of Mark 1:1 begins, the first verse says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to focus on beginning in January, and that is the New Testament. Reading through it together. Going to the website, Daily Bible Review. You can sign up for daily updates through email. Again, on Wednesdays, we'll review the weekly readings together. You know, this is what Paul meant when he talked about the unsearchable riches of Christ. The New Testament is the story of Jesus. The life he lived, the way he died and was raised, and the beginning of his church. God's plan for our salvation. We should want to master that information. Learn it as best we can. And we invite everybody to participate in, you know, one of these three different ways. You can meet with us online. You can do it on Wednesday mornings at 10 or Wednesday evenings at 7. For those who don't have access to the internet, well, first of all, let me say, you might want to think about it because it's catching on, okay? But there are a few who don't. And actually, I kind of envy someone like that. But there's lessons on the table that have the readings for the first 5 weeks, and everybody's encouraged to get one of those and be a part of it. But you know, it's not enough to know. That's part of our lesson. So we go through the New Testament, we learn it, we know it. It's not enough to know. We've got to apply it to our life. And that's what those parables are about. I love this scripture in Romans chapter 2. Paul makes this point. He says there's no partiality with God. He's talking about Jews versus Gentiles. And the Jews aren't loved, you know, by God more than Gentiles are. He says, as many as sin without the law, they're going to perish without the law. Talking about Gentiles, I think. And as many as sin in the law, they're going to be judged by the law. Talking about the Jews. Look at how he puts it in verse 13. He says, it's not the hearers of the law who are just. See, I think that's kind of what the Jews struggled with. They thought they were the ones who had God's law. They were the hearer of God's law. Therefore, they were just. No, he says that's not how it works. Everyone here this morning is a hearer of God's law. But it's not the hearers of the law who are just, but it's the what? It's the doers of the law. And so it's not enough whether, you know, we listen on our phone or we come to Bible class or we follow lessons online. It's not hearing God's law that makes us right with God. And it's a very simple lesson, but we've got to do it. So let's look a little more at both of these contexts of the parables. In James chapter 1, he begins with this statement. He says, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness. Look, here's why we study the Word of God. It says, receive the implanted Word which is able to save your soul. The Word of God is able to save our souls. Because it tells us about the gospel. It tells us about what Jesus did. And it instructs us how God wants us to live. I want you to notice, look at that real closely. And it's very similar to what we read a moment ago in Peter, where it talked about how we grow. It says, lay aside all malice and deceit and hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking, and desire the milk of the word that you may grow thereby. He says, lay aside these things, and then desire the word. Likewise in James 1, lay aside filthiness. You know, he's saying before we study God's word, we've got to be sincere. We've got to be humble. Heard a story this week about one reason why many young people, we'll say age 20 to 30, they're not going to church as much as they used to, is because, it might sound strange to see the connection, but because they're not getting married. And what they're doing instead of getting married is they've seen marriage fail and, you know, so many of their friends' relationships, and they decide they're just going to live together. But the author made the point that it's hard when you're living together to get up and go to church on Sunday morning, because it just doesn't seem right to be involved in a relationship that is not pleasing to God, and accepting that, and then to get up and go worship. And I think it's a valid point that we can't really expect God to teach us and to illuminate us. And we shouldn't even probably even open His Word and dare read it unless we're sincere. You know, if we're harboring sin, practicing ongoing sin in our life. Now, in a way, that's the person who needs the gospel the most. But James here tells us, you know, purify yourself. Put these things aside. And then, with meekness, desire the Word. It's able to save your souls. But be doers, he says, not hearers only. Interesting, he says, you deceive yourself if you do that. We might think, because we're here hearing, we're right with God. I went to church this morning. Well, if we're not doing it, he says, we're deceiving ourselves. And then he gives the parable. If anyone hears and doesn't do, he's like a man looking in the mirror, observes himself, goes away, immediately forgets the kind of man he was. But rather, we should look into the law of liberty, continue in it, not a forgetful hearer, but a doer. And he says, this is the kind of person who will be blessed. When we talk about being doers, you know, an interesting question comes up, and that is, what kind of doing are we talking about? And there's two choices. One is, are we talking about initial obedience? You know, getting saved, baptism. Are we talking about Christian living? Loving one another as we should, living a moral life? And I think, like they say, you know, the answer is yes. Both of these, you know, really have a part. In James, it's very interesting, because what he goes on to talk about in James is, he says, next verse, if anyone thinks he's religious and doesn't bridle his tongue. And then it says in 27, pure religion is this: visit the orphans and widows. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. He's very practical. And the next verse in chapter 2 says, don't be prejudiced. Don't hold the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ with partiality. And then in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, be careful about becoming teachers. James is very practical. And he makes that famous statement, you know, what does it profit if you have faith but don't have works? So often we apply that to, you know, just initial salvation. But really, James is talking about practical living. You have faith, but what is your life like? We need to be hearers of the Word, but we need to be doers also. And then one last thought. When we go to Matthew and look at the context there, Matthew is just a very severe, sobering passage. He says in verse 13, leading up to it, look at these words. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. This is one of those passages that, you know, really makes us uncomfortable. We don't talk about it probably as much as we should. It's very sobering what Jesus says in that passage. He says, there's this broad way that leads to destruction, and most people, he says, are going to go that path. And few find the way that leads to eternal life. And it's not popular to talk about things like this. Sometimes people say, well, I just would rather, you know, stress the love of God and the grace of God. And that's good. But this is Jesus speaking. And we can't ignore what Jesus says. And so if we're going to call ourselves followers of Jesus, we've got to look at scriptures like this. And if we believe in Him, we have to accept what He says is true. And it's in this context that He says in verse 21, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is going to heaven, but only those who do the will of the Father in heaven. And that leads to His parable we looked at earlier. The wise builder who built his house on the rock, is the man who hears and does, and the foolish man is the man who hears and does not do what Jesus says. And so we need to be like the wise man. We need to hear, we need to keep hearing, keep studying, but we need to be sure we're not hearers only, but also doers of what God says. Now, there's one last thing I want to say about that parable before we sing this song that Travis is going to lead for us. And it's an interesting question to ask. You have the wise man who built his house on the rock, the foolish man built his house on the sand. And then it talks about how the storm came. Now, on whose house did the storm come in that parable? Both. That's very important. It's not that if we hear God's word and do it, we'll never face any storms. The storm came, the winds blew, the rain fell on both houses. And that's just life. You know, that's what's going to happen to everyone. But what a wonderful thing to have God in our life and to have this connection with God's word and the wisdom that God gives us. That'll get us through, and our house will stand no matter what storms may come. And finally, there's a storm that everyone is going to face. And that is, we're going to stand before God in judgment. Everyone is going to stand before Him in judgment someday. And our house will stand, again, if we have built our house on the rock. And we do that by listening to what God says and doing the things that He's commanded us to do. And that's why we've chosen this as a theme for the upcoming year. Reminding ourselves of the things that we need to do, not just hear, but do, that God has commanded us. If there's anyone here this morning who needs the help of the church, we sing this song, of course, for you. Give you an opportunity to come. Let us know how we can help you. And whatever we might do, we invite you to come now as Travis leads us in the song at this time. Let's all stand.